everybody. This is Doug Robertson of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution with another edition of the Southern Fried Soccer Podcast. On today's episode, we are going to preview Saturday's match against Cincinnati at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It'll be at 7:30 p.m. It's going to be broadcast on Apple with MLS Season Pass, or you can follow my coverage on Twitter /X at Doug Robertson AJC. In this podcast, you're going to hear from Brad Guzan, Tristan Muyamba, Tiago Almada, Gonzalo Pineda, and former Atlanta United player Miles Robinson, who is now with Cincinnati. I'm also going to answer your questions in the weekly mailbag. Well, it's not really weekly, every time we do a podcast. So episodic mailbag would be the better description. If this is your first time listening to us, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so that you never miss an episode. This is Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
So you'll remember, of course, last week, Atlanta United had a 2-0 lead, gave up two quirky goals, and drew Philadelphia 2-2. Cincinnati, if it scores two goals, you might be able to knock me over with a feather because they've only scored eight this season. I think it's tied for third or fourth fewest in Major League Soccer. But defensively, they've only given up seven, which is tied with Atlanta United and Red Bulls, amongst others, for the fewest in Major League Soccer, including just five from open play, which is tied for the best in Major League Soccer with Atlanta United. So defensively, they are very good. Offensively, they are finding that playing without Brandon Vasquez is not as easy as it may have seemed originally, but it should be a good game. Lucho Acosta has just killed Atlanta United, whether he's been with DC, whether he's been with Cincinnati. He's got like eight goals and five assists in 15 matches against Atlanta United, something like that. So stopping him, which easier for me to say than to do, is the key for the five stripes. But let's get into the audio. And let's hear from Brad Guzan talking about what the team learned from Philadelphia that they can improve upon.
I think when you look at the overall game, our football was good. Our in other areas, in terms of second balls, in terms of attentiveness in, you know, whether it's the middle third, the defensive third, even the final third, those areas can be better.
On Tuesday, it was the 10-year anniversary of Atlanta United's founding as just an Atlanta soccer club. In Major League Soccer, it was a big affair. I was there covering it. It was at a place near Centennial Park. Don Garber, commissioner of Major League Soccer, and Arthur Blank went across the park to the W, got on a helicopter, and flew over to kind of make the thing even more special. Brad Guzan was playing in England at the time. But I was curious if he thought he would end up in Atlanta.
Listen, in soccer and in football, you never say never. You never know what's around the corner. You know, obviously, when you see that, you know, a franchise like Atlanta United is you know, the city of Atlanta has been awarded a franchise, and there's going to be a team and a club here. And when you have the backing of someone like Arthur Blank in terms of his support and his backing, you know, things are looking up, you know, for this city, for the league in general. And so we want to continue to push those boundaries and continue to lift the bar of the league and of the sport. And I think we do that as a club and as a whole.
Now, to me, Guzan is having a MLS best 11 season. The reason that Atlanta United has only given up seven goals is because he has made many, many spectacular saves. His passing has been on point. He even has an assist. He is really kind of silencing all the people last year who kept calling for him to lose his job, though I kept trying to reassure people that this wasn't all on Brad. But here he is talking about the importance of staying even keeled, dealing with both the criticism from last season and the praise from this season.
You know, everyone's entitled to their opinion. Everyone's entitled to the praise, to the criticism. It comes with what we do. I think when you look at players, it's important that players have an even mindset. And when things are great, it's probably never as great as you really think. And when things are not so great and they're bad, it's probably not as bad as you think. And the more you can have a steady mindset, a strong mentality, a belief and willingness in yourself, you know, normally good things will happen. And, you know, that part for me has never wavered. I always believe in my ability. You know, it's that's perfectly fine in terms of the criticism that comes with my role, my responsibility, you know, the position I play on the field. You know, that's part of it, and I'm okay with that. And like I said, I've been very fortunate to be able to do what I've been able to do for as long as I have. And to do that, you need to have a strong mentality, because, like I said, you go through highs, you go through lows, but it's never as great as you think, and it's never as bad as you think.
Now, I think part of Guzan's play last season, and it wasn't great, but it wasn't as bad as everyone thought, was it was his first full year back after suffering an Achilles tear 2 years ago. I've never suffered an Achilles tear, but I've read a lot about them, and it can take a long time to recover from that kind of injury, not as much physically, but as mentally, with your confidence and everything else. But that's just my theory. I wanted to hear from Brad about that.
Our medical staff, they did a fantastic job with myself, and you know, I don't want to speak for him, but I would say Miles too. And, you know, I think it's not just down to, of course, there's individual mistakes that come throughout a season, and you can always point at, you know, X, Y, and Z as to why those things happen. But, you know, it's a collective as well. You know, we win together, we lose together. There's things that are being asked of individuals, of players in the group at different moments. And it's all part of it.
Now, we learned on Thursday that Jurgis Chakamakis did train with the team both, I think, yesterday and today. He's got a bandage on his right knee. He is expected to be available for Saturday. That doesn't mean he's going to start. I'll be stunned if he starts. But here's Guzan talking about the importance of getting Gigi. And at the time, we thought maybe Steen Gregerson, but it looks like he is not going to play on Saturday back.
Yeah, listen, you know, we want all of our guys back as quick as possible. It's not just those guys, it's everyone. You know, the quicker we're able to get guys back, the better for them individually, but better for us as a group.
And then as a follow-up to the improved play and staying even keeled, I wanted to know from Brad if the team bringing in Josh Cohen gave him some extra motivation.
Nope. Kind of thing. That comes from within. Yeah. It comes from within. You know, it's part of the business. You expect these things, to be honest with you. It's, you know, I've always said we're a club that we want to push the bar. We want to push the envelope, and you do that by signing good players in every position, and you need competition in every position. You know, it's our job as players to go out and show that we are, you know, able and deserving, and, you know, you need to be able to help the team in whatever way you can. And, you know, it's no different for the goalkeeping position. And so, yeah, that for me, you know, that comes from within me in terms of how I approach each day of training, each game. So
we also spoke with Tristan Munyamba on Tuesday, and I wanted to know from him the good and bad from the Philly match.
After a few reviews, they have a lot of good things, but honestly, we are really disappointed about the result, because when you lead too near, especially at home, you have to secure the score and go with the 3 points. So we are a little bit disappointed about that. But we have to stay positive and keep the good things for the future and the next game for Saturday against Cincinnati. So yeah.
And here he is talking about trying to defend Acosta because it's probably going to be his job to at least deny him the ball.
It's tough to defend him because it's a really good player, smart player, and he can change direction fast, and he's a really good player, like a few players in this league. So I think if we want to try to block him, we're gonna need everyone, not just one player, not just it's a collective work. So we will see how we're gonna do that, but we are confident because we have a lot of quality, defensive quality in our team. So
here's Thiago through Justin talking about how he would describe his season so far. He's got one goal, one assist. It's a little bit less than last year through seven matches when he had, I think it was, five goals and seven assists.
I think normal. I didn't start the year scoring a bunch of goals and assists like I did last season, but I think it's all part of this, and hopefully I can start adding those numbers again soon.
Now, Thiago's also played with four different strikers this season, if you count Derek Etienne in the second half of the game 2 games ago when Thierry got hurt. I was curious if that has changed anything.
No,
I don't think it changes. Okay. I think the system is the same, and whoever's playing does the best that they can.
Here's Gonzalo talking about what the team learned against Philadelphia that it can use against Cincinnati.
Well, we talk about that with the players, the alertness that we have to have in certain moments, in switch on in all the moments of the game. We talk about this quite often, but I felt like this game we were doing a pretty good job on that. It was honestly, I think, a circumstance there with the pass back to Brad, and we couldn't react better. But yeah, it happened, and we'll learn from it. We watched the film. I think tactically the team did very well. We watched a few things in the final third, how we can be more aggressive and how we can create better chances. But that happened in the second half, and especially at the end of the game. Understanding that we're facing one of the best defensive teams in the league. We could have done better, but even with that, we're creating enough expected goals in that game to secure the 3 points. We couldn't, so that's the lesson, and we'll try to do better against Cincinnati.
Now, the U.S. Open Cup draw was today. Atlanta United is going to host Charlotte Independence. It'll be at Kennesaw State. It'll either be May 7th or 8th, but here's Pineda talking about the approach to the U.S. Open Cup.
I'm trying to win. As always, this franchise has to attempt to win. Of course, there will be decisions to make in terms of lineups and all that, but it's always with the intention to win. We don't go to a game trying to lose, regardless of the lineup. And especially now that the guys that are coming when needed are showing very well, I have to give opportunities. I think it's a good moment to give opportunities to other players. But eventually, it's a tournament that we are in, and we have to try to win.
You remember, of course, last year in Memphis, upset Atlanta United in Atlanta United's first match in the U.S. Open Cup, played at Kennesaw State. It was a crazy game. Memphis had, I think, almost 30 shots, which is a ton for a USL side to put up against a Major League Soccer side. But here's what Pineda said he learned from that.
I think it was a bit of an accident. Many things happened in that game. I think now we're much better. I think our depth is not just player by player, but the moment the players are in general, the whole squad is in a very good level. Today was really, really competitive out there, and so that gives me the right signs that we're more prepared this year. But again, these type of games happen when, you know, the expectations for the team in the first division goes against a second division team, and at times these things happen, you know, whether it's you are too confident, extra confident, overconfident, and then you get these surprises. But I hope we learn from that, and we can do better.
I was on a Zoom call Thursday morning with some of the Cincinnati media, hi Pat, and it was with Miles Robinson on his return to Atlanta United. He, of course, played for the club from 2017 through 2023. Here's his thoughts on returning to Atlanta.
Yeah, I think I'm just excited overall to see some, you know, familiar faces, but also, you know, to compete in a great stadium on the other side this time. So it's going to be a unique experience, but I'm excited.
He was asked by someone there on the reception he expects to get.
In reality, I'm just curious. I'm here, excited. I think I'll get, you know, some type of love because I know a good amount of people there. And that's all that really matters, people, you know, I know and all that. But, yeah, I think overall I'm just excited to get back out there and compete.
And then I wanted to know from him, what would today's Miles tell the Miles that was drafted by Atlanta United in 2017?
I'm not sure, really. I think I would probably say keep doing what you're doing. Put your head down and keep working. Don't lose faith. Don't lose confidence. So I think early on in my Atlanta United career, I was just kind of chipping away slowly and trying to get better. And I think if I kind of just did the same thing, honestly, I'd kind of be in this position. I don't really have any regrets, really. So just continue to do what you're doing. Stay humble and stay focused.
When we come back, we're going to get into the mailbag. This is Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
I'm Ernie Suggs.
And I'm Ned Ravone. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
All right. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution has a special offer for Southern Fried Soccer listeners. For a limited time, pay $1.25 a week, and you can get the AJC. That's ajc.com/BSP. Get ready for a great season. The deal is only for new subscribers. On to the mailbag. We're talking with Eric, my good friend, co-authoring a book. We've only got like a few chapters left. I'm getting a little bit excited. Of course, it's only a first draft, so it's still a long process. But it's making me laugh. I'm having a good time. And here's Eric. Says, hey, we're all friends here, so please speak freely. Did Angel Hernandez ding my car, send a nasty letter to the editor, or stiff you on a tip back in your Domino's days? Of course, I made a reference to Angel Hernandez and the just horrible job he's doing as a baseball umpire this season. He had another couple of botched calls on Tuesday that were just evident that they were botched to everyone watching and in the stadium. So something's got to be done about him. But no, I just like people who are competent at their jobs, and Angel Hernandez is not competent at his. Eric says, the emergence of Noah Cobb begs the question. Noah Cobb, of course, is a 19-year-old center back. I think he's 19 now for Atlanta United and really playing well. Who makes the Doug Robertson all-time top five Atlanta United players who couldn't legally drink list? Okay, well, we got Cobb. We've got Caleb Wiley, who still can't drink, I don't believe. You could put Andrew Carlton on the list, but that doesn't seem right, so I'm not going to do that. George Bellow goes on the list. I'm trying to think of other young, really good players for Atlanta United. And this is not me saying that I'm encouraging the drink. It's just they're 21 or less. I don't think Miles Robinson was 21 when he was drafted. Julian Gressel was. All right. That's enough for now. Mark from Druid Hills left us a voicemail. And here I'm going to just read it to you. Longtime reader of your coverage and really appreciate all that. Well, thank you, Mark from Druid Hills. Your most recent article today about Robinson, and I'm still feeling a little bit curious or a little bit unhappy with the way that decision happened because it wasn't for money. In fact, maybe he signed for a little less money. I'm not sure. We ended up bringing in a designated player to fill that role, to fill that void, and Steen Gregerson. And I know you had mentioned that you didn't think Atlanta United would ever have a designated player at center back, and now we do. Again, it's just an accounting mechanism. With Miles, Atlanta United was not going to pay him DP money because they didn't want to tie up that slot. With Gregerson, it has to be DP money because you have to factor in the transfer fee on top of the salary. Atlanta United will not buy down Gregerson this season, but they could next season. Anyway, Mark continues, I'm just curious if I had any more insight into what went on both on the Atlanta United side and what went on with Miles Robinson and his decision-making process to help us make a little bit more sense of that because it still doesn't sit quite right with him. Well, I wrote about this after Miles signed and we got to talk to him. He wanted a change of scenery. He is getting probably a little bit more money than Atlanta United could wanted to offer, or maybe could offer. Even if it's a little bit less, the cost of living in Cincinnati is cheaper than it is in Atlanta. So he's going to be making more money. He thought it would help him stay in the U.S. men's national team picture. And he said that playing on grass rather than turf played a part. And whether you want to blame the turf or not, and if Miles does, it's his body. I'm not going to argue with him. It cost him a chance to play in a World Cup. If he thinks it was the turf, then I don't blame him for wanting to go somewhere that doesn't have turf. But that was all part of what I wrote back then. I wish Miles nothing but the best. I think he's a fantastic defender, probably the best in Major League Soccer. I've said that for years. It was funny watching Miles today on the Zoom, because when the cameras came on before the interview actually started, he was all smiling and laughing and really happy. And then as soon as the question started, the kind of mask went down and you got the Miles that we're used to trying to talk to in official interview settings and just not getting a whole lot. Good guy, intelligent guy, but just does not like talking to the media. And, you know, that's fine. Nick says, I want to ask my thoughts on the Eastern Conference. At this moment, what teams do I think will make the playoffs and how have my predictions changed since opening day? Well, you are assuming that I can remember what my predictions were on opening day, but I do remember I didn't have either of the New York teams in the playoffs. Right now, one of those looks a lot more likely than the other. I think Miami's going to wear down. They're not very fast at all. I think as the heat and the travel starts to take its toll on their big three, they will fade a little bit. Red Bulls are getting the benefit of what they didn't get last year when they played really well statistically but just couldn't get the results. I would not be surprised to see them continue to fight for number one in the East. Philadelphia is an old, experienced team. They need some young legs. They have great academy, great homegrown, so you could see them coming in. Columbus is still, I think, the favorite to win the East, along with Red Bulls. Cincinnati's got to start scoring goals, or it'll make the playoffs, but it's not going to do any damage. Atlanta United, I think, probably has the most upside of any team here. They've got 11 points from 7 matches, and they've really been able to only roll out their starting lineup, I think, once, maybe twice. Charlotte, I'm not quite sure on. Montreal is a good team. We saw them in preseason. I saw them up close at Al Ling Stadium against Atlanta United. Physical team, tough team. You could see the Columbus ideas in Montreal's play. Really, really good. Like them a lot. Toronto is going to fade. They're already fading. Excuse my language. DC United will go as far as Benteke can take them. Chicago's not doing anything. NYCFC's not doing anything. Orlando, you got to figure, is going to bounce back. Nashville and New England. New England's going to bring up the rear as they have all season. Sean wants me to go ahead and skip ahead to the winter transfer window, just bypassing the summer window, and ask, what do I think it looks like? Well, it depends on if they give Guzan another year, if Guzan wants another year. It depends on what they do with Almada. You've got some homegrowns who I think are going to be out of contract. I've got to go back and look at the contract status. But I think guys like Tyler Wolf could be in the last year of their deals. He may want to go to greener pastures to try to get more consistent playing time. Other than that, I don't think you're going to have a lot of changes for Atlanta United. He continues, injuries, extremely bad luck, or flaws in training, bad luck. Most injuries are bad luck. Adam says, this past week, both our respective Premier League teams laid eggs in both the Europe and domestically. I know personally that I felt Arsenal lacked the depth to compete on two fronts at this stage, and I imagine most Gooners would prefer one trophy over none. So while you can't truly predict how things will turn out, there's certainly a lot of hindsight in our minds now about whether the team should have played their A team in the Champions League semis and instead have focused solely on the Premiership. So to what extent, if any, do you think a team should prioritize one competition over another or be willing to play a full B side during a congested stretch in pursuit of the max points over a season? You know, it all depends upon what's within reach. Arsenal has enough money. It should be deep enough to handle both competitions. Aston Villa is a good team. Arsenal still should have won that game, could have won that game, but they didn't. It's not like Arsenal is a razor-thin squad that has to roll out the same starting 11 or same 14 players all the time. They don't. So, you know, I mean, Liverpool's going to go for it today. They're down 3 goals at Atalanta. Liverpool's come back from this before. It's extremely unlikely, but they're going for it. And they've got another big game this weekend in their Premier League title race after they spit the bit last weekend. So, again, it just depends. If you're in 10th in the Premier League, but you're playing in the Champions League and a chance to win a trophy, then, you know, yeah, I'd put in a B-side in a Premier League match and go full bore in the tournament. Atlanta United may have this issue coming up with U.S. Open Cup and Leagues Cup this year, depending upon where they are in the Eastern Conference. And they are they're a deep team. They're arguably one of the deepest in Major League Soccer, but they're not European squad depth. And we're going to finish with Chris with our questions of the week. He says, these are not necessarily Atlanta questions, but now we're going into match week 9. He says, I know I've mentioned my hatred of the word match week, but it's a terrible word. I agree with you, Chris. The elite teams seem to have established their eliteness, while the bad teams are also becoming more obvious. Who do you anticipate being the first coach fired? He throws out Luchi Gonzalez and Josh Wolf. Gary, I would not be surprised to see Gary Smith get the boot. Or the Dallas coach, whose name is escaping me right now off the top of my head. Nico Estevez. Would not be surprised to see either of them get the boot. The only thing saving Caleb Porter is he's in his first year. Before the season, I predicted either Greg Vanney or Gary Smith. Obviously, the Galaxy are playing really, really well, so it's not going to be Vanney. Phil Neville and Portland aren't doing great, but I think it's going to be a four-way race between Gonzalez, Estevez, Smith, and Wolf. Austin's only 2 points out of a playoff spot. San Jose just looks awful. Dallas has made a club record transfer signing who's not being very impactful. And Nashville, Mukhtar has just kind of regressed. Sam Surridge, the guy they brought in last year, is not doing anything. They're not getting any goals. And it's just boring soccer. So we'll see. Chris continues, over the last few years, we've seen lots of team rebrands. Montreal to CF Montreal. Columbus dropped the Crew nickname for like 3 hours one day. Houston rebranded. Chicago went from the Maltese Cross to the Galaga spaceship, back to the Maltese Cross. The Revolution, and I know it was a while but the Dallas Burn became FC Dallas, and the Kansas City Wizards downgraded by becoming Sporting Kansas City. Even Seattle kind of changed their crest for this year, and I'm sure I'm missing others. My question is, who needs the next rebrand? Be it a name change or a crest change or whatever else, who would you like to see rebrand next and why? That is a really, really interesting question, and I don't know if I have an answer that's good for you. A rebrand isn't going to do what you want it to do unless you put a good product on the field. And so a team like Chicago, which keeps rebranding, it needs a better product. A rebrand is not going to help. So it doesn't really matter to me if they rebrand or not. Seattle doesn't. Vancouver, maybe, but I don't know what difference it's going to make in the U.S. market. Not the Galaxy, not LAFC. I mean, Real Salt Lake just went through an ownership change. The Real always seems really funny to me to be associated with Salt Lake. Maybe Real Salt Lake. Colorado, you can maybe see that too. Such a big market to just not really be making an impression. And I think a really good team. I've predicted them to finish, I think, third in the West, and they're starting to fulfill their potential. So there's a two for you. His next question, finally, a more relevant question. Lucho Acosta and Thiago Almada finished 1-3 in MVP voting last year, with Denise Buonga in second. None of the three have really gotten going this year. Acosta has 1 goal and 4 assists, which is the same number as Brooks Lennon. Almada has 1 goal and 1 assist, technically the same as Braguzan. Buonga has 3 goals and 2 assists, although he leads the league in shots. Why are these players struggling so much to get going this season? Is it because teams are figuring them out? Pressure to match the performance levels of last year. It just feels odd to me that all three are struggling early this season given their previous high levels of success. I think it's math. I think if you go back and you look at their expected goals versus their actual goals, they probably really outperformed each. Acosta, I think, is really suffering from not having Brian Vasquez, who could occupy 2 defenders and give him some space, or either a center back and midfielder and give Acosta some space. He's only as good as the guy on the other end of the pass, which is what I was trying to tell y'all a couple of years ago when everybody was banging on Brooks Lennon and his lack of assists and his passes. And I would tell you, he's putting the ball where it's supposed to go. The guy who's supposed to be there has got to get there. Now you're seeing with Giakoumakis and Thierry and Rios, the guys are getting to where they're supposed to be. And Lennon, starting last year, started to get those assists. It's the same for Acosta. If his teammates aren't where they're supposed to be, then he's not going to get the assists. And because Cincinnati doesn't have that player right now that's going to occupy more than one defender, more attention can be paid to him. But one guy I haven't watched a lot, LAFC, seems to be struggling all around. I think it's just, again, math catching up. Thiago didn't really have much of an offseason. I'll be stunned if he's can concentrate maybe like he could last year. That's not a knock on him. It's just fatigue is fatigue. He didn't get much of an offseason at all. He jumped right in with Atlanta United. Then he went down for Olympic qualifying. Missed all of the preseason. Just now coming back. He's had four different strikers again when you count Etienne. It all adds up. So we'll see. I think each of their numbers are obviously going to be better. But I don't think they'll match what they did last year. Thanks for all you do. And I hope your weather is as nice in Atlanta as it is in Southeast Tennessee. Thank you, Chris. It's a beautiful day. I want to remind you to please tell your friends about our show and give us a rating and a review on Spotify and Apple. That's what helps us grow the podcast. I want to remind you, please, to hug your loved ones and embrace your loved ones. I'm going to do that tonight. On Tuesday, I went back to Carrollton, where I lived for a few years, where my son still goes to high school, and got to celebrate the debate team banquet. Will was a part of a team that just won its fourth consecutive state championship. So that was an awesome thing to be at. And my parents got to be there, and Will's mom and her husband got to be there. Going back tonight for honors academics night. And I think Will is going to be a part of that. So I'm super proud of him. And I tell him that all the time. Make sure you're telling those you love something similar, whatever you're feeling that's positive about them. And if it's negative, you know, have the courage to find a way to express yourself. It's only going to make the relationship with that person stronger. Try to be empathetic. Try to be aware. If you see a homeless person on the street, you know, and you have a bottle of water or a granola bar or something, give it to them. Kindness goes a long way. Thanks for listening to Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.